Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
It's really great to be with you. Will everybody be able to hear me? Yeah, Jacob, can you hear me in the back? Let me know if you can't hear me. I'll be able to hear. I'll go back and use the microphone. I'd rather kind of walk around and be with everybody. So it's really, really nice to be with you. So thank you so much for having me down. Even though you have no choice, I'll see you around. It is great to be with you. My name is Father Joe Free. I'm the vocation director for the Diocese of Pittsburgh. So I get to do this a lot all over the place, especially to our high schools and our colleges and universities, and kind of like fill in a lot of parishes too. I'll tell you guys this story. Maybe you've heard me tell it before, if you've heard me preach before, but I was up in a parish in the North Hills of Pittsburgh. I lived in Oakland in the city. And right after my homily, it's a bit of a funny story, right after the homily, a guy raised his hand to ask me a question. Right? Does that happen here?
No, it does not happen here.
So this guy, Father, just like that, the Father, how in the world did Jonah spend 3 days in the belly of the whale? And I said, sir, I said, I have no idea. I said, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. And he shot back to me right away without missing a beat. What if he didn't go to heaven? Thought about it for a second. He said, well, then you ask him. As you guys told Jesus. So let me ask you, how many of you have ever been in love? Yeah, real long. Yeah, husbands, go ahead and raise your hand. Your wives are like, that's you, buddy. Raise your hand. Yeah, so what happens when you fall in love? Who raised your hand? Not yet. The other day, I asked the same question, and there was a good one of the big football players, big, you know, tough, strong, dude, muscle-bound guy, sitting in the front row, and I'm not kidding, I asked in front of everybody, and he didn't know what to say, he was kind of like deer in headlights, and all that came out was, you feel really giddy inside. I was like, but what happens when you fall in love? We know this, I'm very much in love in college, very much in love now with the Lord, and what happens is, don't you? When you fall in love, you ever experience yourself as falling in love? I mean, I'm talking about real, honest love, true love, right? When you begin to fall in love, you begin to come alive, don't you? Doesn't your heart just begin to blossom? I live in Oakland, I was telling you right on its campus, and I was walking around with one of my buddies who was totally falling in love, right? This beautiful Canadian woman. And he's walking, I don't know why I added that. He's walking with me after Mass, it was a 12:05 a.m. Mass, and we're talking about, and he talks so beautifully. He's just falling, he's like, Father Joe, everything is different. My world is, he's like, Father Joe, the sun seems brighter. The flowers seem more beautiful. I mean, people are cutting me off in traffic, and I'm like, oh, I'm sure they're in a hurry. Like, everything just, right, it's crazy. Like, everything just comes, when you begin to fall in love, it changes everything. It changes how you view reality. It's beautiful. Why is it? Why is it? I think one of the reasons is this. Most of us spend an awful lot of time in the ego center. Most of us spend a lot of time in the center of the universe, right? Me, myself, I, my mind, my mind, the whole world revolves around us, right? Me, don't get crazy, don't get crazy. But like, why? Most of us spend most of our time in the center of the universe, right? Most of it, that's what happens, right? And then let me tell you, as we know this, but nothing is more boring. No life is more lame than putting yourself in the center. Letting everything revolve around you. If you want to go through life in a lame way, make it about you. Make it all about you. Put yourself in the center. I guarantee you'll never have any fun. We know people like that. The most annoying friends we have are like that. You don't. Do
Because you only take love, you don't give love. This is what happens when you begin to fall in love. When the beloved draws near, it begins to open your world up.
Amen.
Yes. Your whole world begins to open up, right? When you begin to fall in love, when the beloved draws near, beauty kills the ego. That's why it's so good to surround yourself with beauty. It kills the ego, and the ego is like a cramp. You can't work it. You have to relax and let it go, right? Let it die already. But most of us spend our whole lives trying to feed our big, fat, relentless ego, except when the beloved draws near, it breaks you out of that. And all of a sudden, your world gets bigger. Your universe gets wider, right? What happens to your thoughts? Well, all of a sudden, your thoughts go from being by myself, me, I, my control, my plan, my life. They begin to involve an other, us. And ask Jacob about your campus minister here. Ask him when he began to fall in love with his wife. You go from being here to being here. You begin to fall in love. Your thoughts are sweet. What happens to your time? Well, just kind of evaporates, right? You notice about, well, you guys were just high school kids. You notice about high school kids, right? High school kids on the phone for 4.5 hours at night, right? With this girl. Gets off the phone. You're like, what are you guys talking about? You know, like, but that's what love, it just wants to be with the beloved. All your time goes to the beloved. When you're not with the beloved, you want to spend time with your beloved. What happens to your hopes and your dreams? Well, they go from me and my future to our future, and we and us. And listen, if you let love mature rightly, and most of us don't, most of you young people don't, because you're jumping in bed right away with each other. That ruins your opportunity to really experience love. That's what that does. But if you let it grow and mature rightly, you begin to live for the other. Ask anyone who's in a good marriage. You begin to live for another. And when you begin to live for another, you realize there's a cause greater than my ego. And then you're free. And folks, there's nothing more beautiful than falling in love. There's no more human experience. There's no human experience more beautiful than falling in love. Now, here's one of my big fears as a young priest. And young as well. Young compared to Father, not compared to me. Here's one of my big fears. I'm afraid we've fallen into the trap of thinking Catholic Christianity is all about just following the rules and avoiding sin. Being Catholic Christian means that I just follow all the rules and avoid sin. I do this and I don't do that. I should do this and I shouldn't do that. And I have to come to church on Sunday. I have no idea why, but I'll just come because that's what we do as Catholics. And I'll just keep doing that. Just follow all the rules. Follow all the rules. You just do this. You check this box and you don't do that. And we all live moralistic lives and we try and do this and try and avoid that. And that's basically what Jesus Christ has to offer you, is a big fat set of rules. A big fat set of do this and don't do that. No wonder. No wonder our churches are packed with people. Packed with young people. If I thought that's what Catholic Christianity was all about, if I thought all that Jesus Christ had to offer me was a list of rules, because I could go do that on my own. I don't need Jesus for that, right? Now, all the teenagers love this because they're like, woo, throw out the rules. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. We have to have rules. We have to have law. And it's not just we have to have it. They're good, beautiful. The teachings of the church, every teaching of the church is beautiful. It leads us to life. Every commandment that there is, it's not burdensome. The commandments aren't burdensome. They're laws, they're guide rules that lead us, that point us to life. Has anybody been to California? You've been on a Highway 1, right? You're on the edge of the cliff. Has anybody looked at that guardrail and said, oh, so burdensome to me? No. You say, oh, thank God, it's keeping me on the road, right? Thou shalt not kill, to me, physically, when you take it at its surface, it's not burdensome to me. Why is thou shalt not kill not burdensome to me? Because I don't want to physically kill anybody, right? So it's not a real burden to me. The laws and rules of the church, if they're burdensome to us, it's not their fault. It's our fault. There's some way that we're disordered, right? They're beautiful, and they lead us to life. Anybody who says, throw out all the rules, do whatever you want, is a fool. Let me say that again. Anybody who says, do whatever you want, throw out all the rules, is a fool. Why? Because that only leads to chaos, and chaos leads to anarchy, and anarchy leads to tyranny. Follow me now. Think about the game of basketball without any rules, right? You just throw the ball on the court, let the kids do whatever they want. Woohoo! Well, that would just devolve into chaos, right? Does anybody here play chess? Chinese checkers? Okay, there the hands go up. You're like, yeah, that's a great game. Yeah, like, what if you just threw the pieces on the board and let everybody do whatever they want? How would that go? It wouldn't go well. It would devolve into chaos. Think about your home lives, you parents, right? Or just let the kids come and go, however they want, do whatever they want, eat whatever they want. Wouldn't work. So there has to be law and there has to be rules, but listen to me. The heart of Catholic Christianity, it's not about rules. It's not about law. It's not about moralism. It's not about do this and don't do that. That's not the heart of our religion. What is the heart? What is the essence of Catholic Christianity? It's love. It's love, folks. Love is the essence of Catholic Christianity. And I'm not talking about Oprah Winfrey, Hallmark, this esoteric, I'm talking about real love. Strong as death, relentless in the netherworld. Deepest devotion, the Song of Songs says. Real, true, honest, faithful love. Love that lays down its life to give life to another person. That's the essence of Catholic Christianity. Here's the thing. This love has a name. This love has a name. And the name of love is Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. And I gotta let you know, because I really believe that 85, 90, 90% of people every single Sunday they come to Mass have never really met the living Lord Jesus Christ. Have never encountered Jesus. To be very honest, I've been Catholic my whole life, but I think it was 25, 26 years of my life, I didn't know Jesus was real. I didn't know He was alive, and so I was living Catholic Christianity just as moralism. You go to church on Sunday, you do what the church says to do, and you don't do what the church says to do, don't do it. And then I met Jesus Christ. I tried every other path. He learned that I was like, on my way to the NFL, I was never that good. I'm letting people say that, so I'm like, but I didn't just like that. I haven't done anything in my life. I was about to be married. I was starting to be more quarterback for a while. I had a few strong conversations. But I met Jesus. And I felt the wonderful love. But in Him, the person of Christ who is real and who lives, I met someone who corresponds to the deepest desires of my heart for freedom and joy and peace. It's all that I know. That's it, guys and gals. That's what makes life worth living. It's what makes life free and beautiful and great. What's the deepest desires of your heart? Love? Companionship? He can fulfill it. Jesus Christ is the answer to every question of your heart. So here's the thing. You might say, that's nice, Father Joe. It's a great little, thoughts, words. It's all about love. That's true. Love is a person. His name is Jesus. But I can't see Him, right? I mean, you're easy to relate to, right? You're right in front of me. What's your name? Ethan. Ethan's right in front of me. Everybody's looking at Ethan now. Sorry, Ethan. Ethan's face getting really red. It's easy.
It's easy to relate to you guys, right? I can see you. I can shake your hands. I can touch you. I can ask you your names. I can talk to you about your majors. I can do all that. How do you relate to a person that you can't see with your physical eyes, hear with your physical ears, touch with your physical hands? How do you do it? If he's alive, if he's real, Father Joe, show him to me. There was a little girl who went to bed at night, and her mom came in, and she was really scared of the dark, and her mom said, "Don't worry, Jesus is with you." She says, "Well, that's nice, Mom, but I need somebody with skin on, you know? I need somebody with skin on too." The way, folks, that you see Jesus, that you encounter the living God, is through the gift of faith. It gives you the ability to see Christ in a way that you never thought was possible before. That's what's actually been happening to me in the last 2 months, of beginning to see Christ. And it's beautiful, and it's not just my imagination. I'm seeing the Lord, and he's setting me free. He's showing me his love. How do you grow in faith? I've been preaching for, I'm only going to preach for another half an hour, so stay with me. Just kidding. Here's three ways to grow in your faith. Very simple. I'm going to cut this homily way short for me. And I give you three ways to grow in your faith, okay? The first way is this. You've got to practice your faith. You've got to practice your faith. You guys are here? You got to come every single Sunday. Every single Sunday, whether or not there's a game on at night or not. You got to come to Mass every single Sunday. Just be that person. I'm a person who goes to Mass every single Sunday. I don't not go to Mass. That's you from now on. Second thing, confession. Twice a semester. Oh, that's a big deal. Twice a semester. People say, "Oh, Father Joe, I just always confess the same sins." Well, thank God you're not branching out, right? Come to confession. You ain't going to surprise any priest, are you? Like, "Oh, I've never heard that one before. Hey, Bill, guess what they just said?" You know, it's not. Come to confession. Twice a semester. You got to do it. It cleans your soul out. It gives you life. If I was up here and I was a doctor and you were sick, you needed energy, and I said, "Take this vitamin pill twice a semester," you'd do it, wouldn't you? Yeah, you would. I'm telling you, do this. Your soul is more important than your body, and your soul is real. Twice a semester, you got to go to confession. Father will offer the time, so tell them right when you are. They're in their bulletin, Father? They're in the bulletin. Twice a semester. I'll hear your confession right after this if you want. Whatever, I'll stay here till midnight here and confess. I don't care. We'll get it done. Twice a semester. Mass every single Sunday. Confession twice a semester. You guys like that part about not branching? The second thing is this. You got to learn your faith. You got to learn your faith, right? I'm so tired of us taking the faith so weak. I went home. My niece was in school. She had all her school books. First day of class, she had all her school books on the table. And she had a big old biology book. She's in seventh grade. Big old important biology book. Oh, no pictures or nothing. History, same thing. Big old history book. She had a math, big old algebra or something like that. I took algebra 2 as a fifth year senior in college, by the way. Not my specialty. She's got this big old book, all this stuff, right? Then I saw her religion book. You know what her religion book looked like? It looked like a freaking Disney cartoon book, all right? A total joke. It's a joke. All these other serious things that we take religion as a joke. Learn your faith. There's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more interesting than learning about God. Jacob will get you any book you want. I'll get him a list of recommendations, and I'll give him the money. We'll get it done. Learn your faith. There's a great book called Rediscovering Catholicism. I recommend it to you. It's real easy read. Read a few pages a night. The last thing is this, and I think it might be the most important. I don't know. Every day, for the rest of your lives. That's a long time. Pray one Our Father when you wake up in the morning for the gift of faith. Here's what you do. This is so simple. Wake up in the morning, you're groggy. As your feet are hitting the floor, just sit on your bed or be like a child and kneel down beside your bed, whatever. And pray one Our Father asking for the gift of faith. Say, "God, give me the gift of faith today," and pray one Our Father. It takes 27 seconds. I timed myself on the way in here. It takes 27 seconds. Pray one Our Father every single day for the gift of faith. Guys and gals, folks, if you do that, if you come to Mass every single Sunday, if you go to confession twice a semester, if you learn about your faith through the books that Jacob's going to give you all, and if you pray one Our Father every single day for the gift of faith, I promise you, You will meet and encounter the living Lord Jesus Christ like you never have before, and you will experience the love that your heart is desiring. And you'll become a lover yourself.